4 score and 7 years ago, our forefathers on this wheel of bat.
Richard.
What?
What are you doing?
Well, I mean, you said that we needed to come up with something powerful to start this new fall off. So I was thinking, you know, some Abraham Lincoln would be a good way to get started.
You can't be serious.
I just remember last year about this time, I had just gotten here and you all made me sing for the Palooza.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, sing to the Lord. Oh, sing God a new song. Oh, sing to the Lord.
And I'm thinking that my diversion is not working. You're going to make me sing. Are we going to have to sing again?
Maybe.
Our theme this fall is based on a hymn called How Can I Keep From Singing?
You mean I have to sing a whole hymn? That's way too much.
Don't worry, Richard. We'll help you.
We need your voice in the song.
Richard, take a deep breath. Let's not tackle the whole thing at once. Why don't you just start with the very first line?
My life flows on in endless song above earth's lamentation. So I'm stuck in this memory right now. This memory of last year's fall kickoff. Kickoff Sunday. It's vivid in my mind. It was my first dialogue sermon. And I was feeling excited, but also really nervous. Trying to still find my voice, trying to find ways to connect with you all. It kind of feels like it was yesterday. Or maybe it was a dream that I had last night. Can you really believe it's been a year? There's some comfort in that, in the fact that our church calendar cycles through and returns. Things end, but they always come back again. So already it's fall kickoff. The summer is over. September is going to blow right past us. Pretty soon, we're going to be saying things like, the leaves are so beautiful right now. And then pretty soon, some of us are going to be saying, I am not ready for Advent. These moments come and they go. We find ourselves right back where we were. But take a look around the sanctuary right now. I'm realizing that things are not as familiar as they may seem. Since last September, 31 new members have joined Grace Covenant. 4 babies have been born. 3 of our young adults moved out of state. 1 staff member moved on, and 2 have joined us. And we've had 6 funerals since September. There are people who have been here for decades who will not be with us this year. These cycles of birth and death, people joining and people leaving, were not the same Grace Covenant that we were a year ago. And your stories are behind these numbers, more stories than we can ever really tally. Stories about long nights, weighing life decisions, moments stepping out in faith, hours and hours of care for others. And more subtly, every day, there have been examinations of our Christian lives together in this age of anxiety, asking who we are and who we are called to become. So yes, the church year repeats, but it does so through song and through prayer, in thoughtfulness, in love, and care. Because throughout that church year, you and I, we carry our weights and our worries and our losses into the space. My life flows on an endless song above earth's lamentation. I know I'm not that strong of a singer, but you are here, and this place is here. And this mighty spirit that holds us together, it is here. It helps me carry that tune of praise. It reminds me of the love of God in every season of life, even in those moments when my voice feels like it's about to break.
That verse, but you know, it doesn't feel finished.
Well, that's because, Sam, musically it ends on what's known as a dominant chord, and it needs to be resolved.
Well, I knew that.
But things aren't always resolved. Take Paul and Silas in our scripture. They were thrown into prison without any promise about what the future would hold. There's still tension there.
They were prisoners, and the thick prison walls were meant to muffle their voices and cripple their spirits, but somehow it didn't.
Their song was more powerful than chains or jail cells. They sang in the middle of it all.
Above earth's lamentations.
I hear the clear, though far-off hymn that hails a new creation. My grandmother, Alois, never sang. I don't know if she could carry a tune or hit a high C. I don't know if she could sing harmony or if she knew any songs by heart. She never sang one note. This never really fazed me until one day with my family, we were sitting together in the living room crooning old Frank Sinatra tunes together. I asked her, "Why aren't you singing? I know you know these songs." She looked at me and said sternly, "When I was in the first grade, my choir teacher heard my voice and told me to lip sync. I haven't sung ever since." I've always been haunted by this story. One person's words had silenced an entire voice for 88 years. My grandmother was a woman with much to say, much to sing about. She could bridge divides, lift people up. An unassuming revolutionary, this wife of a World War II vet would open her doors to anti-war protesters seeking refuge for the night. An inclusive love. When my father brought home his Puerto Rican shiksa, non-Jewish girlfriend, I'm told she welcomed her in with open arms. A true ecumenical soul. In preparation for her own funeral, my grandmother asked the rabbi to be sure to include her two favorite songs, Amazing Grace and Ave Maria. There were so many songs within her, radical, righteous songs, lyrics of hope, of struggle, resistance, and delight. I would have loved for her to put her story to music, to belt with that same powerful energy in which she lived her life, to be free to express herself in absolutely every way. So often in community, there are voices that are given space and support to sing loudly, and there are voices that get lost in the mix. Voices that are told to hush up, keep silent. Here in this community, in this season, we are challenged to center those voices that have long been told to lip sync. We are here to offer each other accompaniment, a listening ear willing to honor our unique songs, a companion to harmonize with when the road is unsteady, and a family to remind us that we can trust in a God who frees us from our chains and invites us to sing boldly and without ceasing.
I hear the clear, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation.
Paul and Silas had no idea what the future would hold, and yet they sang.
That's right. They sang songs they knew by heart that they learned in community.
Exactly, Marcia. They had a shared repertoire of songs, not from a hymnal and not from iTunes. They grew up going to temple, and they internalized their faith, just like our children do when they come to worship.
Songs we know by heart are immensely powerful. They sustain and inspire us during life's most painful and important challenges.
Lift every voice and sing during the civil rights movement.
Psalms sung by jailed French Huguenots.
Luther's a mighty fortress in the turmoil of the Reformation.
Wade in the water on the Underground Railroad.
God's people bearing witness to the hope that faith brings.
Bearing witness to God's power to redeem. The jailer in our scripture today was tangled up with a system that held him captive to the powers and principalities.
But when his world fell apart and he couldn't see a way through, it was the community that sang together that welcomed him and gave him a new story of who he was and who he could become.
And it is faith that sustains us when life takes an unexpected turn.
No storm can shake my inmost calm while to that rock I'm clinging. If there is one thing I've learned now for 4 years living in Western North Carolina, it's that storms can come up over the mountains pretty quickly, and often do, with no warning. I've learned that same lesson in life. The doctor spoke a word to us that we had never heard before. Amyloidosis, primary systemic amyloidosis. 7 months of declining health and visit to specialist after specialist, neurologist, gastroenterologist, infectious disease doctors, and no answers. A 38-year-old man who had been in perfect health. David was losing weight. He was suffering from fatigue, battling a host of physical issues which were rapidly diminishing his quality of life. We had ruled out cancer and HIV and a host of other horrible diseases, but with no answers. Then at the Mayo Clinic, on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving in 2008, we learned of this rare and fatal disease. An unexpected storm derailed two lives in that single moment. In the time we had left, my partner David and I wrestled with a lot of life's issues. It was the words of Flannery O'Connor that brought us comfort, reminding us that illness before death is one of God's good graces, a mercy not afforded to all. And one of those graces was the opportunity for us to support each other as we face the inevitable through our shared faith. We laughed and we cried. There were fears and sadness. We reminisced about the good times and the bad. We prayed and we sang. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. Bedside. All six stanzas, no hymnal from the heart. eventually frail and weak, and David could no longer walk, he was a shadow of his former self, the man that I had loved and had known to run marathons. In a little less than 9 months from his first symptom, was 100 pounds lighter, bedridden, blind, and in diapers. This disease had taken everything away from him. Everything, that is, except his faith and his ability to sing. In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Faced with death, David sang, and I was so fortunate and privileged to be there to share in the song with him. David, in those moments, bore witness to that inmost calm. And in the face of illness and death, I saw firsthand what a person of deep faith, how a person of deep faith responds to the storm. From a reservoir of song and abiding hope, with a rock and a refuge unshakable, all with the assurance that no storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging.
Songs can be instruments of freedom, instruments of healing. Some of the most holy moments in my life as a pastor have been singing to people who are making their transition into death.
Voices joined together for justice can change the course of history. Voices joined together in compassion can be a source of deep healing.
And singing with and to children can teach them about our faith and our love in ways that just spoken words never can.
And this hymn we're learning was composed in 1869, when our country was desperately in need of justice and healing. The Civil War had ended, and countless families and lives were deeply wounded.
The war our country had fought against itself had the most casualties in the U.S. of any war.
And the wounds still haven't healed.
The music of our faith can fill us with feelings of strength and resolve in life's most challenging moments.
Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? Apparently, after midnight at Tampa General Hospital, they locked the front doors. That is information John and I don't have, having only lived in Tampa for going on 7 weeks. So my labor kicks in to a different gear behind the hospital where the garbage dumpsters circle a smoking area for employees. A lone hospital worker is out having her 4:30 a.m. smoke when she hears me having a contraction and probably sees a look of panic and horror on John's face. I hear her voice speak sternly to John. What are you doing back here with her? She needs to be upstairs. She's getting ready to have a baby. The next thing I know, we're on a freight elevator, lurching up to the maternity ward. The corridor is dark, not welcoming. Things aren't the way we had planned they would be back in Chicago, with a doctor that I loved and a community to support us. Instead, I'm in this unfamiliar place. Now, John's given me a pep talk, just like an NFL coach would. You've got this, Marcia. You're showing people how it's done. Let's do this. I get a momentary flash that everything could go wrong. That I might not be able to do it. That this is too much. It's too hard. That something's not right, that I don't have what I need. We've all been through births. Some of us only our own, which we have no conscious memory of, but we've all been in that thin space between life and death, that place of transition where things could go either way. I lean over with the next contraction, and a deep power wells up from inside me. Without thinking or deciding to, I sing. When I walk through the shades of death, thy presence is my stay. One word of your supporting breath drives all my fears away. And I feel no fear. I feel no fatigue. I feel things changing, transforming, emerging, and Mary Elizabeth is born. And I see this whole new person, fresh to the world. Grace Covenant, we sing because we trust the new thing that God is doing in and through us. We sing because God has promised to provide for us. We sing because God is God. We sing because Christ shows us the power of being brave in thin spaces, in spaces of tension, where things could go either way. And our singing is somehow a messenger, a carrier of God's power to transform the world, to give birth to something new. Of our faith empowers us to be more than we are right now. It strengthens our relationships with each other, our connections to our ancestors, and our capacity to trust the mysteries of our very existence.
Singing freedom songs, singing healing songs, isn't just about our faith right now. These songs are about our faith in what we are becoming.
This is a singing congregation, a growing and transforming congregation.
And the fact that we come together on a regular basis and sing with such gusto, well, that is proof that God is up to something.
When we live into the confidence of this hymn, how can we keep from singing?
When we live into the mystery of God with us, how can we keep from singing?
When we live into the beauty of life unfolding, how can we keep from singing?
When we live into who God has called us to be, how can we keep from singing?
My life flows on an endless song above earth's lamentation.
I hear the clear though far off hymn that hails a new creation.
No storm can shake my inmost calm while to that rock I'm clinging.
Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?